You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, y'all. Bayou Benders here to talk to you about the latest from our sponsors, DraftKings.
It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at one of the $1 million top prizes when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch the competitive itch and reign supreme. Download DraftKings app now and use code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I am the newly sunburnt Mason Dixon, joined by my host, the Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Buddy,
hey y'all, I'm Corey. I'm paler than ever because I don't see the sun anymore because I'm stuck inside, but I'm fine.
Well, let me tell you, I saw the fucking sun today, and you want to know how
did it open up the doors?
Oh, because I was out on the fucking golf course, 18 holes, first 18 hole game of the year, fucking pumped. That we are back in golf season, and now I get to come home and watch a Habs game in about 25 minutes, so I'm pretty stoked about that. How's your day been, bud?
Good. I don't think you caught the slow drive reference. I don't think you were even born when that song came out, but it's fine. I don't know. I'm skeptical about what's going on, and we're definitely going to go into it. We're just moments away from puck drop for this tonight's game. I'm kind of upset, you know, to lose individuals right before a Toronto game, but if we win this game, it's just even a better rub in their fucking face that we were down the heart and soul of our team, and then, you know, the wall. But the wall wasn't expected to play tonight, so I think we're okay.
An interesting storyline coming into this game too would have been better with Carey Price in net, but if Montreal can beat Jack Campbell here, they can preserve Carey Price's record of 10 consecutive wins to start a season, which Jack Campbell is at 9 now, so he's approaching. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Jack Campbell's done this over 2.5 months. Carey Price did this in just under a month. So
right.
You tell me what's more impressive, but the boys have to play for Price here. It's a shame he doesn't get to defend his achievement himself. But I'm sure Jake Allen's up to the task.
I think Jake is. And you know what? This is the perfect moment for Jake Allen to come in and just continue to prove that, you know, he was an amazing pickup for us. Awesome enough, though, you know, as a backup tonight, we do see Caden Primo setting up in warm-ups right now. I doubt we'll see any action from Caden Primo, but I think it's awesome to – anytime he gets to wear the jersey, it's almost like getting a glimpse of what's to come, you know.
Yeah,
excuse me. I fucking, like, thought I was about to sneeze my ass off. but But yeah, you know, I guess it can kind of end right there. How do you feel about Caden Primo? I guess just getting a chance to sit on the bench with the boys again.
I'm excited about it. Caden Primo is the future of our net. He's going to be a star goalie in this league. I genuinely believe that. And, you know, when we've seen him play for the Habs, he's played brilliantly. He's been dominant in the AHL this year, one of the best goalies in the league, and on arguably the best team in the league. So I think it's well-deserved. It's unfortunate that it had to be under these circumstances that he's up. And honestly, I don't know if he'll actually see any game time. But, you know, just being up with the boys, getting to work with the, you know, real NHL players, the real NHL squad of hopefully he's on in the next year or two. I think it's only beneficial for him, really.
Yeah. I don't know if he was in net the other night. I mean, truthfully, it's one of the only times I've seen the Rockets lose in the past month. But kind of getting back to Carey Price for a second, I'm sure everyone – like Carey Price is just that big for Montreal that when you hear anything about Carey Price, you know, being day to day or out or just not playing in a game due to what happened in the previous game, you do your research. But if you didn't and you're listening to us for it, no problem. There's no injury update. They're not listing him as injured or anything like that. It's more or less he's a bit hurt. It might just be something he needs to just have an extra day or to arrest on as far as game days. But that is really amazing for us because it's just another tough moment. Brendan Gallagher, long-term injury. If you listen to Ducharme moments before the game, he meant someone had asked the question if they believed he was going to need surgery. He said that the doctors are still looking into it. He couldn't really say anything past that, but they're looking at 4 to 6 weeks guaranteed broken thumb.
Yeah, definitely took a turn for the worst with that announcement. We initially saw 1 to 2 weeks with a fracture, and mm-hmm. It's turned into a completely broken thumb. Brendan Gallagher cannot catch a fucking break with his hands. Holy shit.
No, he can't. And
it makes
me just like it even more. Like, I'm never really I don't really hate Johnny Boychuk until shit like this happens. And then it makes me think about him, you know, Brendan Gallagher just trying to make a name for himself, but just play how he plays and block that shot and broke like his thumb and three fingers.
I think it was
2015. Like,
it's been a tough history, like I said, with Gallagher's hands. And since the 2018-19 season, the only one forward has been more effective at scoring goals 5v5, and that's Alexander Ovechkin. So just to kind of show just the caliber in which of offensive talent that he is, he's in a tier with Alex Ovechkin. So big part of this team, obviously wild, that first line.
That's a wild stat.
It's crazy. But that first line's been going – popping off, shutting down teams defensively, creating a shit ton of offense. It was a kind of a resurgence for that line. Unfortunate that Gallagher's out. Kind of a huge negative or a huge positive. There only seems to be two groups of people or two opinions of this move on Twitter. Kotkaniemi on the wing, replacing Brendan Gallagher. He will be on the right wing for Philip Deneau and Tatar on his offside, so the one-timer. And apparently that's where he played in Finland whenever he played on the wing. And keep in mind, he played a lot of wing even his draft year when we drafted him as a center.
Yes, he did.
So there's a lot of split opinions on this. And before puck drop, I think this will probably be one of the last things we discussed. And we'll come back after the second period and talk about kind of give an update. What are your thoughts on this move? And what are you looking to – what are you expecting to see from this line and KK himself?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. It's a tough blow to lose Brendan Gallagher. But if there's one guy on this team that has proven in the bubble and so far this season, if someone can try their best to fill Gallagher's shoes, I would give it to Kotkaniemi. I don't know what to expect from him on the right wing tonight. I just know it's not going to change how he's played this entire season so far. I'm expecting a very heavy game from him. Whether or not he sees the score sheet, he's going to be a difference maker. And this is an opportunity for him to prove himself as a first-line candidate player. I would like to see him in as a center position, but you know what? Alongside Deneau and Tatar, I think this is a very hungry, a very dangerous line. Two guys on that line are, I mean, Deneau, rough start. He's really been running lately. I'm not gonna lie. Thomas Tatar, always a threat. This line has finally made it back to their first line, you know, what we expect from them. So I think just adding KK, who's a very hungry player, is going to play very hard. It's just going to make this line maybe not as big, but definitely is going to be impactful tonight. But Eric Staal, second line alongside Drouin and Toffoli. I guess we can cut it off right here, though. But how about last question? How about Eric Staal just making a name for himself in Montreal against Edmonton?
Well, I kind of want to take it back for a sec because I just want to talk about the KK thing a little
bit. Okay, yeah, no problem.
That question. I kind of had a similar opinion to a lot of people, and I was kind of upset with the KK thing. And I think I'm emotionally scarred with the whole Alexander Galchenyuk thing.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Galchenyuk, it's just – I don't want to watch that again. The third overall pick thing, European born, like you're kind of, ooh, that's, you know, scary. It's eerily similar, but I don't, you know, I kind of had these I don't know. I don't like it. Once I saw he was playing on that line, it made me feel a little better. That's the first line. They're definitely going to get the most minutes tonight. And then hearing KK talk about it, he's actually excited. He gets to play with the big guys. He's honored to them, and you know what, if he's excited about it, then I'm okay with it, because I think KK knows he's a center, so if he doesn't feel he's being moved position and he's just genuinely excited, then I say fucking go for it, because you know what, he's finally gonna get to play with some elite talent, and you know, it's a lot easier for a center to play wing than it is for a wing to play center. And moving on to the Eric Staal thing, welcome fucking home, Eric Staal. Jesus, what a fucking way. Like, you could not write that better in a Hollywood movie, could you? That was just a fairy tale ending to a pretty quiet game. I think he was pretty, you know, making quick plays, not holding on to the puck, just trying to kind of get settled in. And then,
yeah, like finding his bearings and just not trying to be a negative player in his first game, you know, just – it almost feels like he was trying to shrug off like whatever hook that Buffalo still had on him, you know, just trying to move the puck and not the curse necessarily. Go ahead.
Sorry, clearly the curse doesn't follow you through cities. I mean, like, he's got that goal scoring touch, and he displayed that with 440 NHL goals don't happen for no reason, and that shot. Fucking beauty.
It was beautiful. I had to stop and rewind because I couldn't believe it was Eric Staal. I thought it was just an assist by Eric Staal. No, it Eric Staal closes out the night, getting our second OT win. I love that when we were going into overtime, the announcers in the game were like, you know, this is a team that's definitely been tested in OT and it hasn't really gone their way. But what a great night for it. You know, what a move to make to have Eric Staal come in and immediately impact us in a position that we've really been struggling, you know. It's two for 11 now. OT OT wins.
Yeah, definitely a good thing to see. A little frustrating to see Deneau and Byron out there starting again, but you know what? They played pretty well. It worked out. We got the dub, so I can't really complain.
Right. I do like I like how slow we're being a little bit, and I don't mean just like we're playing slow, but like I love that we're not trying to force something that has been a problem with us this whole entire season with our OT runs is we just try to force something. I love that we're kind of hanging back, allowing guys to get in the exact position we want to win, and shit, two OTs in a row, we've done it.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, we can finish this one regulation with the big dub for Jake Allen. And I think with that, we're going to kind of conclude this little segment. We ran into some time constraints today, but come back for the end of the second period. And I guess for you, it'll be momentarily.
Yep. Okay, you guys, we'll talk to y'all soon. Let's go, Habs. All right, we're two periods into this game. Sadly, we can probably not get any more coverage after the game. It'll probably be a little too late for me. But how are you feeling going into this? It's a bit of a it's boring on the score sheet.
I'm bored. I'm falling asleep. But it has been like a pretty fast paced game. I think there's been chances for both teams. Montreal completely outshot Toronto that period, like 14-2 or 3.
Out muscled them as well.
And by that period, I mean the second. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck do you do against that Austin Matthews goal in the first? Just messed up. Corey Perry and Slick Nick linked up to quickly tie it up, and since then, I don't think there's been high danger scoring chances. Jake Allen's stoned Alex Galchenyuk and made some really nice saves. Played very well. Jack Campbell just stoned Drouin near the end of the period.
I think
it's a goalie babble right
100%
now.
Right now, because you're right. And Jake Allen has definitely saved us. I posted on Twitter, it could probably be 4-1 right now just because there was like a bit of an onslaught towards the end of the period with Toronto. We were just kind of – we couldn't get the puck out the zone. And there was at least two or three chances when a rebound could have really stopped us. You know, we wouldn't have been able to stop it. But Jake Allen, even that throwing the body out save just to kind of clear the zone was really great. But like you said, it's really coming down to a goaltender battle right now. Right at the end, though, if they saw Mark Stahl, that would have been a goal. Yeah, what did I say?
You said Mark.
Awesome. Anyway, Eric Stahl just kind of did like that Corey Perry just kind of glide into position, wide open shot for him, but definitely came in a bit at the end, and Dano had already committed to the, you know, making an effort out of the position he was in. But right at the end, man, we really turned it on, and kind of a little disappointed we weren't able to take anything away from that, at least get a rebound or something, you know.
Yeah, I want to know what your takeaway is on KK so far on the win.
I'm not unimpressed. I think we saw at times he was like getting adjusted, but he's been playing pretty solid, I'm not gonna lie. I think Nick Suzuki's play is a little below average right now. It's just taking a lot right now, but I don't think there's been enough time to really have something against KK. This is different, and I think he's playing as good as he can right now.
See, I kind of disagree with you. I'm not very impressed with that one.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest, I don't think I think KK's a lot of the time drifting back into the center of the ice, which is only natural.
Right. Okay.
I don't think Dano and Tatar work well with him. At least they haven't developed any chemistry so far. Obviously, they haven't had a lot of time to practice with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't liked it so far. And I guess it's tied 1-1. They've been playing well. But if I'm Ducharme, I might put KK on Suzuki's line. I might try and mix up something a little bit just to kind of get the boys going a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a moment in the first, and we saw Tatar kind of just send the puck off for like a deflection, and that's 100% him being used to Gallagher being in the slot, and he's just, you know, like I just saw it and I was like, he's just going based off of instinct, like he knows Gallagher would have been right there, and it's just, you know, no one was technically there at that moment. You could see the bit of struggle. This is last minute, so like you said, like there's been not a lot of time to like grow a quick chemistry, you know. It's kind of been thrown out there. We did see a bit of a line jumbling in the second, but How are you feeling about the Marks slash Eric Staal right now?
I thought at the end of the second he's played pretty well.
There's been moments where I'm like, wow, like just not even in an offensive position, just defensively, just trying to stay aggressive and just pester the guys when they're trying to go around the back end behind Allen. I don't know. I've just been trying to keep more eyes on him because I've never really cared to watch Eric Staal. But I'm trying to get a better view of him.
Yeah, he's very calm. He in a weird way, like he makes plays very slowly, I've noticed, but it just seems to work out. He's very patient with the puck.
Yeah, he really goes with the flow.
Yeah.
Just that veteran patience, you know, he's got it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I see a lot of people on Twitter. I mean, they're getting upset, and I'm not gonna lie. At this point, I am noticing it. There's a lot of they've said it a couple times that we're losing our edge, and at this point, we only got one penalty. We only got one power play under us, and I feel like it should be a lot more.
Yeah, I'm not really going to – I don't feel the need to comment on the refs. We're playing in Toronto. That's enough said.
They just our announcers keep saying that we keep losing our edge. And, like, there was even one where Byron kind of came into the zone. They had two people on him. And it wasn't the best vision. You can't really see the best video on it, but definitely looked like he was kind of tripped up. And the commentators were like, you know, Byron pays the price for, you know, for coming in like that. And I'm like, well – he definitely got tripped up. Like, you know, there was definitely more than just them taking the puck away from him. There's been a couple of moments, even with the worm finally gets our first power play. But I mean, I don't know if that's the person I would poke if I'm Austin Matthews. Like, I know that Corey Perry has been really good for us this year, but like the wires cross and you could see it in his eyes that we could see the Corey Perry that took out Ryan Ellis, like that you could snap, forget about playing an offensive game and just go to drilling somebody. Like, I don't know if that would be the person I would want to put a high, you know, to put a stick in his face.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Personally, I haven't been as upset with the refs as I have been with the utilization of our defense. I think it's evident now that Petrie and Edmondson need to be reunited.
Yes.
I think Mete and Romanov have played good. Try Weber and Kulak. We've never seen it before. Let's see what happens. At the end of the day, I think Edmondson's played fine. I think Weber is a black hole on the defense, not just offensively anymore. I think he's getting sidestepped. I think he's getting outskated. I think he's getting beaten. I don't know if he's suffering an injury or if he's just down very rapidly, but something needs to be done. Jeff Petrie, he keeps getting pucks thrown at him from Kulak. Kulak will be in a bad situation. And, you know, rightfully so, he'll throw the puck to Petrie because he knows Petrie can make a play. And then Petrie kind of gets in a bind, has to dump the puck. You know, those not only hurt his deep underlying numbers, but also just kind of stifle his offensive ability, his freedom to bring the puck up ice and do what I love to see him do, and that's create offense while being responsible in the back. So I think something needs to change there because I'm getting tired of watching Weber get beat night in, night out.
I think you're right. I think the easiest thing is, like, we saw it, you know, we don't have the Trident. The Trident's pretty much gone. But, like, why not utilize that idea? Why are we committing to not swapping? If Weber's looking off, have Petey go out a shift, you know, see if let's get a little something movement. Let's get some movement towards that. But it's like, we were so easy last season. And in the bubble, we were just like sending out whoever. It didn't fucking matter. As long as those three were out mixing it up, it didn't matter. I think at this point, if Weber's getting beat this bad, if we're all noticing it, you know, Weber needs to just take a break. Like you said, if it's an injury, he needs a break. If it's just the, you know, degression in his game, needs to take a break. and let Petey, you know, if he's capable, let him run with it for a bit. You know, there's definite shifts. A couple shifts a night could make the difference for us right now. You know,
I'm not willing to say Shea Weber has really regressed yet, but something's wrong with his, and I don't think it's just a slump. It's been kind of getting worse as the weeks have progressed, and I just think you're holding on to something that isn't there anymore by playing him on your top pair. Petrie, you're giving Edmondson the support. I think Edmondson's Weber, the support. Edmondson's a great support D, right?
Edmondson's looking even better because he's gone from with Petrie and had a phenomenal run, and then has gone to quote unquote save and help Shea Weber. You know, you could see why it was so smart to put Edmondson there, because he is legitimately, you know, to the best of his abilities in the moment, saving Shea Weber when it's needed.
Yeah, I just think it's stupid to give Weber the support,
right,
when clearly Petrie is going to benefit more from it. He's going to do more with it, and he's our best defenseman.
Now, I know that this is Ducharme's world right now, right? But in the beginning of the season, Bergevin and Julianne, the Jake Allen idea was to take some games off of Carey Price, let him have some rest, you know, for him to play better. It looked phenomenal. Obviously Carey Price is playing more games now under Ducharme, but why does that mentality not go with Shea Weber? Why are we forcing Shea Weber to just play worse? I guess, I mean, not every game is like this, not every shift is like this, but if you see a legitimate problem, why are you just letting him go out and die than to take some time off of him? You know, give him a rest, put him on the second, you know, make some movements that help him. I mean, he struggled in the beginning with Sherratt, and he's still struggling now. Like you said, it could be an injury, it could be just, you know, whatever it is, if we had the mindset to help Carey Price, well, why aren't we doing that for the captain? Why aren't we doing that for, you know, our quote-unquote
best? I just think that, in a way, that's what they're trying to do, and I think it's failing because they're giving him ample opportunity on the play, giving him ice time. They're giving him the good partner. They're giving good offensive zone situations, and it's just not working. What I think he truly needs is a puck-moving defenseman, a young guy like Mete Romanov, and he needs to just sit back.
He needs the coast on the blue, and that's it.
Yes, that's what he needs, to rebuild his game, because right now, offensively, he's a black hole, and he's struggling defensively too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hopefully, you know, the boys are still in this game. Like we said, goaltenders battle here. Hopefully, we can break Jack Campbell again. This guy's looked phenomenal, and I'm excited to see. I think this game's going to pick up a lot in the third.
Yes, I don't. I mean, obviously, there's no choice but to pick it up. And for us, we're actually in a pretty good state. Like I was saying before, like our, you know, we're playing a very dominant game. We're up, as of right now, 16-7 on hits. We're winning in the face-off circle. We're their giveaways are just out of control right now. It's 25 to our 10. We just need to capitalize on it. And I think the boys are starting to pick apart. They're starting to find – they're going to find something. And as long as we play a total defensive game right now, because I think we're doing a pretty bang-up job on it, you know, there were moments in the second where it was falling off, but there was guys on there that definitely needed to get off the ice, wasn't given an opportunity to. But I think if we can outlast the second, I think the third we go in and play the same type of game, and Jake Allen stays on top like he's been. I think this is a good run for us. Also, we haven't talked about it. Marsh Saul. I thought it was going to be bad when he took that. It looked like he took the skate blade to the face. Whew. Thank God that wasn't an injury.
Yeah, I'm happy Eric Stahl didn't get injured.
Can I call him Mark Stahl again?
Yeah. But the period's starting already at the third, so.
Let's get back to it, folks.
Wrap things up here.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you all so much. This has been Habs Nightly. Please follow us on Twitter at Bayou Benders and Habs Nightly. This is the end of the show. You guys have a great night.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
He's my brother Mike.
He's my brother Matt.
And we are the Brothers of Discussion, hosting Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a hope.
In a season mired in tragedy and despair, we are here to be your audible Earl Grey, to bring joy, placidity, and perspective to one of the roughest eras in Red Wing history. We honor the past, find the positives in the present. I swear they're there. And paint the picture of what's to come in the Winged Wheels future. Paul Woods here on the radio broadcast your Detroit Red Wings, and I'm going to play games like Who's That?
Who's That? Come on. Pokemon.
Where Matt has to try and guess quotes pulled right out of context for Jeff Blashill, and we got to figure out who that Red Wing is.
Every episode, we put ourselves in the legendary shoes of Steve Yzerman and play Be the GM, finding ways to ice a competitive team while accumulating assets for the franchise's future. We also shoot the breeze. Some of the great local and national voices in Red Wings hockey, including Ken Kell and Keith Gave, and Greg Wyshynski and Ryan Lambert.
Check us out every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And check us out live every Wednesday and Sunday for Red Wings reactions and live conversations with you on our YouTube channel, The Brothers of Discussion.